Good evening.
Good evening.
I know you're awfully quiet tonight.
Well, just waiting.
Me too. I'm just joking.
Well, I've read the Mind Over Matter at least two or three times today, and I think I'm pondering that a lot. So maybe that's why I'm so quiet.
It's a lot to ponder.
Well, it was the season, you know, with that particular verse in the Torah portion. And then working on those three, that verse with the three words that have to do with the changing in the DNA, it all went together, which shouldn't surprise me after all these months and years.
The synergy is always amazing.
Well, I just didn't remember that it was associated with the rock, which was really the well, until I reread the class handout.
Right. I was reading a couple of different articles from different sources, and they're all essentially saying the same thing that I never read before, never heard before, that the purpose of creation is to the phraseology of what I heard is to dematerialize the physicality,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially mind is matter.
And then last week when we went to St. Martinsville, I took Rabbi Berg's book of Nano. I had never gotten around to reading it.
Oh.
And I was only able to get through a few chapters, and then it was like I didn't want to read anymore. It was just wasn't... Anyway, I put it away, and then lo and behold, here comes the Torah portion with meditating on that verse when I got to it, and then rereading, because I had put the handout of Mind Over Matter in the Nano book. And that was, I know, during the summer of last summer.
Right.
So, you know, it just fell into place.
It always does. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But what was unusual, it made me think of when I was doing genealogy back in 2000. It was like these people, these persons that I was trying to find information on, it was as if they were the ones leading me. You know, I couldn't get them off my mind, or just strange things would happen. And I have a copy of when I did the seven prophetesses, the names of each one and what food went with each one on what day. And so on, I think it's Wednesday, is the day for the fig, which has to do with Hanukkah. And this was Friday. I kept, it was like something kept saying, go eat a fig, go eat a fig. And I think, well, it's not Wednesday, but I'm going to go eat a fig. You know, keep some dried figs in the refrigerator. And that's when I saw the word. It was one of the words that would have made, that went with the three words. It had all the letters. So, kind of strange, you know.
It is.
And even if it's strange, you expect things like that to happen. But when, you know, when they do happen, you, oh, well, it's helping me.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join us in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah, Gedula Chimim Sati. Aleph Gimel Yitaf Sadi Tabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Tacharenu No Ra Ufreshayim Tet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yichud Give Ava Sham Rey Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Bar Hem Tacharem Rapame Sit Katha Tami Gam Lem Betet Reish Tzadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Biro Tucha Nae Adata Tet Kuf Tet Nunayan Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Bnei Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed, Hey Zion Ku. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmati Akatenu, Yodea, Dalumo, Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Tav. The letters of the month of Tammuz, the Tav that created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, and the Tet, that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, which is the astrological sign of Cancer. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we're going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech Apaim. Verav Chesed Ve'emet. Notzer Chesed La'alafim. Noseawon Wafesha. Vechata'a Ve'nakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year of the goat by studying two verses, the first of which is chapter 3, verse 52. And we'll start with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Erchimud Chilud Chilu Erchimud Leata Lishem Yud He Bevav He Bihuda Shilim Bishem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konane Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konane Sot Saduni Katsipor Oyevai Hinam. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to parse them into three words, Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters of these words, we're able to parse them into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed. The letters of that name of the year are separated by 7 letters. Ki im ba Adonai, Yohe Wahe, Elohechem Tadebaku, Kasher Asitem. Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year of the pause, 5776, is the energy we'll connect to next. Again, it's with two different verses. The first verse is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Racha Kohanim Ayulimat Willo Yachlu Lahashi. Et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha yad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav v'yitkadesh mene ha'kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yehovah Wahe, La La He, Wa Wa Wa, Yo La Yo, Ala Me, Hey Hey Hey, Aka A, Rei Ka Ha. The second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, that connects to this year of the pause. Bichu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade ad ki bia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tur Olami. In the year 5775, the energy of swallowing death forever, there are 3 verses. The first verse we study is Job, chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo ishe mimeni, lo parpeni ad bili ruki. The second of the 3 verses is 1 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Mikol, Hamas, Asher Yitzhabei Cham Wishavtem Eilael Nachom Wechalatitem Wechayim Yeshno Varetz Vechipasti Oto Bekol Alfei Yehuda. And the third is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lametzah yoved roav yomru ayav. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse connecting to this energy, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leYisrael untati v'shatan tahta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu b'nei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. That has the energy of certainty. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Anenan Dekucha Barichu Koma Diaved Leila Witata Kola Yu Yishot Biovada Dikshot Veleila Mila Bialma Ivae Barnash Ledashya Leya Ineya Ulan Haga Beya Telana Dehakulu Ovada Dichot Inun Wikola Itsteris Be Alma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. Please scan the first seven rows. In the eighth row, Nu me me ariola ereche me ta re. Wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo. And scan the eighth row. Excuse me, the ninth row. And now we will do the same thing with the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. So please scan the first seven rows. Row. Nu komo yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. And the ninth row, please scan. And the Tzaddikim who left believe it is the 13th day of Tammuz. Rabbi Elchanan Bunin, Rabbi Aryeh Leib ben Rabbi Mordechai Halevi Epstein, Rabbi Chaim HaKohen Rappaport, Rabbi Mordechai of Kremnitz, Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Naftali Hirsch Rikvash, and Rabbi Chanoch Kinach Dog ben Eliezer Rubin. And the eighth verse of the Anah B'Koach we say in a whisper. class is Advanced Reincarnation. You can find that in the 11th row of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left. And it's class number 11. So we open up to chapter 9, section 2. The cross-gender soul migration. Because of sins such as homosexuality, a male soul might reincarnate into a woman's body, and such a woman will not be able to give birth without great merit. The entry of a feminine soul into her as an Ibur. Although women do not reincarnate, they can sometimes come as an Ibur into women together with sparks of new feminine soul. Although women do not reincarnate, I already read that, I'm sorry. There is another possibility when they come as an Ibur in some other woman. If that woman conceives and becomes pregnant and gives birth to a girl, then the one that came as an Ibur might reincarnate as an actual Gilgul into that daughter who was just born. The Ari will return to this phenomena further in this section. Sometimes a man may reincarnate into the body of a woman because of a sin, such as homosexuality. Sometimes a man may reincarnate into the body of a woman because of a sin such as homosexuality or something similar. This woman who has received the soul of a man will not be able to conceive and become pregnant. This is a serious punishment. Barren women usually suffer tremendously, both from the society around them and their own personal perceptions. That's my unwritten commentary. Continuing. This is because she lacks the ability to raise Mayim Nukvim, female waters, and she cannot receive Mayim Nukhrim, male waters, if she hasn't initiated those male waters. The concept of Mayim Nukhrim, female waters, was explained somewhat in chapter 3.8. Its counterpart is Mayim Dukhrim, male waters, or juices that flow from above to below. It's such as a sperm that is emitted during marital intimacy. In Kabbalah, this term refers to all the light and blessing that flow downward from above. Obviously, the physical bodies of the partners must be able to function normally in order for procreation to happen. The Ari is adding here that some similar function must also take place in the soul bodies. Souls have masculine and feminine aspects, as it is written, He created them male and female. Furthermore, the rule in the Kabbalah is that this world is a sort of reflection of what is contained in the spiritual roots, despite the anomaly under consideration here. Thus, the female soul must also be able to emit juices of Mayim Nukvim and lubrications that draw downward to herself the Mayim Dukhrim of the masculine soul. That this paragraph is a polite way of describing sexual intercourse. The male soul that is within her cannot become pregnant or give birth. In this anomalous case, however, as a result of sin, the soul that is within the female body is not feminine, but male. The female body in this case will be able to function normally in a biological sense to emit female juices and lubrications. However, the male soul that is within her cannot do so. The consequences will be that this woman cannot become pregnant or give birth. This woman will need great merit to enable her to become pregnant and to give birth. The only way it can be done is that some other feminine soul must enter her as an Ibur. In partnership, they can raise Mayim Nukvim. They can conceive, and they can then give birth. One has a female body, the other is a female soul. She cannot give birth to boys, but only to girls. However, she cannot give birth to sons for two reasons. The first is as follows. There is a verse that says, if a woman puts forth seed and a male child is born. In the Talmud, it is said if a woman puts forth seed first, then a boy will be born. If the man puts forth seed first, then a girl will be born. In this case, the woman is a male, just like her husband. In this case, whichever one biologically puts forth seed, the first, in the spiritual realm, both partners are masculine souls, and it will always be the male who puts forth seed first. Therefore, the child must be female. She cannot give birth to boys, but only to girls. At the time that she gives birth, that feminine soul enters into the fetus. The second reason is that the feminine soul that has entered her does so only as an Ibur, in order to help her become pregnant and to give birth. Once this woman gives birth, that soul does not need to stay there any longer for any reason. At the time that she gives birth, that feminine soul enters into the fetus as an actual Gilgul, and not as an anymore, like it was at first. That is why the child that is born must be female and not male. The child that is born will be the Gilgul of the feminine soul that entered the mother as an Ibur. Since the feminine soul is not itself tainted with any sin of illicit sexual relations, she must enter a feminine body. Therefore, the child will be a female. In summary, any woman whose soul is a masculine soul, as explained beforehand, cannot give birth to a male, but only to a female. The female child that is born will be the same feminine soul that originally entered to help out. In chapter 38, the Ari will actually relate that the first wife of Rabbi Chaim Vital was the Gilgul of a soul of the type discussed here in this section. That is why she could not give birth to a son. Rabbi Shmuel Vital, the son of Rabbi Chaim, through whom the Lurianic tradition was transmitted, was the son of Rabbi Chaim's second wife, who was actually his soulmate. My commentary. Homosexuality is considered an abomination. what is homosexuality? If one reads the verses associated with this, it is referring solely to sodomy. Although Orthodox and Kabbalistic Judaism indicate that it applies to the wasting of seed in any way between a man and a woman, Er and Onan, the children of Yehuda, died due to the wasting of seed with the woman Tamar. Thus, there is also a teaching in the religion to follow the customs of the people. In this area, the custom appears to be changing, although that may only be in the U.S., in the Western world, but not elsewhere. That's the end of the section. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What if a woman has a male and female twins? Does that relate to the male and female soul that entered the body? Are they partnership?
That's not what's being talked here.
Yeah.
Because what's being taught here is it's a woman who has a male soul.
Okay.
Now you're asking a different question. If a woman has fraternal twins, there are two different souls that have been drawn down. And the reason for that is the consciousness of the father and the mother are not in sync. And so they've drawn different souls, and that's what's entered the two eggs that took place. Was my answer clear, or is we need to delve more into it?
No. I was just wondering. Some women have a son and a daughter, twins. I don't know if that pertains to this or not.
You broke up. Say it again.
I'm sorry. I didn't know if it's related to this verse, the twins, a male and female, and why they have a female and male when there's twins.
Well, on the physical level, they're fraternal twins. There's two eggs that came down, and they were both impregnated with different sperm. And so one sperm carried a male soul and the other carried a female soul. And they both became attached to the uterine wall and were able to grow up. That's on the physical level. The spiritual level is the consciousness between the two parents.
Okay.
Chapter 9, Section 3, Male Souls and Male Sons. This section continues the previous one, where a masculine soul reincarnated as a woman because of a sin such as homosexuality, and this woman cannot give birth unless a feminine soul comes to be in a boor within her. In the last section, we learn that in this case of a feminine soul being in a boor within a woman whose soul is masculine, the child that will be born will be a girl. The feminine soul that came as an Ibor will become the soul of that daughter in a full-fledged Gilgul. If there is surprisingly great merit, then it is sometimes possible that at the time that child is born, the feminine soul that was there as an Ibor will depart and go on its way. A masculine soul will then enter the fetus, and the child will be a male. Afterwards, it will be impossible for this woman to give birth another time, unless the same feminine soul returns to be any bore within that woman as at first. Whether the child that is born is male or female, it will be impossible for that woman to give birth another time. Her soul is masculine, and she cannot give birth without the feminine soul that comes to assist her as an Ibor. However, that feminine Ibor is no longer together with her. If the child that was born is a girl, then the feminine Ibor has become the child, the child's soul as a Gilgul. And if the child is a boy, then the feminine Ibor has gone on her way to allow the child to be born as a male. The woman can only become pregnant again if that feminine soul leads the daughter to become once again then poor in the mother. In either case, it will be impossible for this woman to give birth another time, unless that same feminine soul returns to be any poor with it the woman once again, as at first. However, this presents a serious difficulty. If the child that was born was a girl and the feminine Ibor has become the child's soul, therefore, if the first child was a daughter, then this girl will have to die. And maybe the feminine soul will return to be an Ibor within the woman as it was beforehand. If this woman whose soul is really masculine is going to have any other pregnancy after the birth of a daughter, then that girl will die first. This is because the feminine Ibor that makes possible this woman's pregnancies has become the soul of the daughter. The woman can only become pregnant again if that feminine soul leaves the daughter to become once again an Ibor but in the mother. Then she will conceive. She will become pregnant and give birth to a daughter whose soul will be the feminine soul that was there as an Ibor. This sequence of Ibor and Gilgul can go on many times, and the laws applicable to it will always be the same. However, if she gave birth to a boy, then the child does not need to die. The feminine soul that was an Ibor within her has gone on her way at the time of birth, as mentioned previously. That feminine soul that was an Ibor must return a second time to be an Ibor within her, within the woman, in order that she will conceive and give birth to a girl. The feminine soul that was an Ibor needs to return again to the woman to help her become pregnant again, because the feminine soul needs to enter a Gilgul in a feminine body. The first time a boy was born, maybe the second time a girl will be born. This always needs great merit. It is also possible, although a girl is born first, that the daughter does not need to die. Even though there will be another pregnancy, it is also possible that the first daughter does not need to die. It is possible that a different feminine soul will come to be an Ibor within that woman, and she will conceive and give birth to a girl, and this soul will reincarnate within her as a full-fledged Gilgul. No soul enters the body of a man or a woman in their lifetime, unless there is a great affinity between them. This woman with a masculine soul has an Ibor of a feminine soul. Consequently, she conceived and gave birth to a girl. The feminine soul that was an Ibor becomes the soul of the daughter. Then a different second feminine soul becomes a second Ibor within the woman whose soul is masculine. she becomes pregnant and gives birth to a second time. The second child is also a girl. The second feminine soul that was second before becomes the soul of the second child. It is possible that these elements can interchange in this way, pregnancy after pregnancy. Whenever the woman conceives, however, this phenomena also needs great merit and a powerful miracle. This is because of a fundamental lesson that we have concerning the secret of Ibor. No soul enters the body of a man or a woman in their lifetime unless there is a great affinity between them. This woman whose root is a masculine soul needs an Ibor of a feminine soul. This feminine soul must contain all the qualities that are needed for this Ibor. In addition, it has to have an affinity or similarity to her. Consequently, this requires great merit, and all the more so if she has to come in Ibor several times, as explained. And it is an even greater miracle to find many feminine souls with the right conditions, and they will also come as an Ibor, each one at a different time. The need for much merit and great miracles. That's the end of the section. Are there any questions?
So these Ibors that are coming in, is that just the purpose of pregnated women, to impregnate women?
Yes, they come in just to allow the soul to be drawn through them, or possibly to be drawn because of them, or to be the what is drawn into the body.
So if this Ibor stays and the girl becomes the soul, you know, she gives birth, a woman gives birth to a girl, and it is the soul of the Ibor, does that soul start out with the nefesh and then start, and then it has to elevate back up to the different soul levels?
I'm not clear on what your question is. Please say it again.
The question is, when this Ibor comes into the woman, and she doesn't leave, she stays with the woman, and the child is born, a girl is born, what is the soul level of that Ibor? Or is it a nefesh or a ruach?
It's a nefesh level.
Okay. My grandmother on my mother's side had 15 girls and two sons.
That doesn't mean that this section is talking about your grandmother. To have 15 girls. Which is amazing.
Yeah,
it's clear that your grandmother was. What the Torah says about your grandmother is that she, her soul was a female soul, but then her husband always was the first to orgasm.
Right. Yeah, his first, they had actually 18 children. The oldest were the boy, well, he had two sons. The rest were, well, actually three sons and one died, but the rest were girls. So he had actually 18 children.
As my mother would say in comments, your grandmother had to be very tired.
Yes, She was about four feet tall, and she had 18 children. Yes, she was very tall, but she enjoyed her children. And those children took care of the children that were born. You know, they just kept babysitting, you know, until they all got grown. There were cooks, there were babysitters, there were cotton pickers, there were, you know, all these things. Yes, she was very tired. I would consider that blessed to have that many children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your grandmother was blessed, and my mother was living a secular life, so she was more relating to, you know, the concept of the pain of childbirth.
Yeah. This lesson has, I have to really think through all what we just heard, because it's, you know, you have to go through the different verses, because it was like back and forth, that the male comes in, the female comes in. So I have to go back and re-listen to this lesson. I did get it, but
there's always more to be done. And there's always more to follow. There's always more to learn, more to follow.
Okay.
While we do have a few more minutes, I hadn't prepared for the additional material, so we'll pick that up next week. If no one has any other questions, our Zohar class begins at 7 o'clock West Coast time. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.